Hey Gamecocks, this episode is brought to you by Tailgate State. These guys deliver unique designs with fans in mind that you simply cannot find anywhere else. Tailgate State offers polos, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, and more with new designs dropping weekly. The best part is that for every item purchased, Tailgate State donates $1 to the corresponding school's NIL collective so you can get involved with the NIL movement, all while looking great. Get ready for game day the best way. Just go to tailgatestateandco.com. Use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 150 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Tailgate State. Go to tailgatestateandco.com, use code GAMECOX10, that's COX, for 10% off. I am your host, Tim Cox, and wow, 150. Episode 150, how about that? It honestly does not feel like that much. It doesn't feel like I've done that many. It still feels like I have no idea what I'm doing. But just want to say thank y'all. We're going to get serious here for a quick second. Thank you to all my listeners. If you're someone who has listened since episode single digits, probably just means you're my friend or my family, but I thank you very much. And if you're a new listener, whether it was your last one or this football season, basketball season, thank you so much. It's been a fun ride. It's going to keep going on. We're going to keep trying to, I'm going to keep trying to think of different ways to interact with you all, whether it's on social media or bringing on other people in the Gamecock community onto the show for occasional like chats and things like that. But it's been a ride, and it's been a lot of fun connecting with so many Gamecock fans. And if you have not already, I know I like to say it at the end, but like, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It helps the visibility for other Gamecock fans who are searching for Gamecock podcasts and things like that. So even if you're subscribed, please leave a review or hit 4 or 5 stars, or if you think I'm doing a crap job, leave one. But nevertheless, I do appreciate all y'all very, very much. But let's get down to business here. We got a lot to cover. It was a very busy week on all sorts of different fronts in Gamecock country. So let's start by looking back on the midweek scores. Only got two to report right now. This was from Wednesday from the softball team as they beat Charleston Southern 5-0 and then again 11-2. So handling business against Charleston Southern as our baseball team did, which we will get into that in a second here. But there were a lot of updates from this past week. So I'm going to call this next segment just the Welcome Home Bonanza, because this week, tons of news came in as major commitments were announced across different sports. So you had men's basketball and the football team both securing big-time commitments here, and I'm here to break down all of them for everyone here. So let's start with the basketball team kicking off Welcome Home Bonanza. Lamont Paris and company picked up a commitment from transfer forward Miles Stoot, who was previously at Vanderbilt. Now, in his 3 seasons at Vandy, Stoot averaged 7.5 points, 7 and change points per game, as well as almost 4 rebounds per game. Now, What made him an attractive prospect is that he has been a 38% shooter from three-point range. So most of his time at Vandy, he was a 3-and-D type of guy, right? Go knock down some shots and play solid defense, which he did very well at. But word is that he is going to be taking a more active role and try to develop his game even further under Lamont Paris. And that understanding was a big reason why he chose South Carolina. So look for him to maybe put the ball on the ground a little bit more, maybe drive it a few times. He is sort of that stretch four type of player. Some people had him as maybe he could be kind of a, you know, a guard, but he's a power forward, right? So going to be exciting to see. And I think that this is just another example of Lamont Paris bringing in an experienced player, but again, players who fit in his roster, but will allow other guys on the team to have more defined roles. So you're not going to be asking Michi Johnson to do four different things now. He can focus on one or two things that he does well, because now you have a knockdown shooter, which there were a couple of guys who you could turn to and hope that they hit big-time shots right last season, Hayden Brown being the guy that comes to mind mostly. Now you have this shooter again. So it's going to be very fun to see his development as well. But I really am impressed and satisfied with the work that Lamont has done using the portal and trying to jumpstart this roster for next season. But definitely keep your eyes peeled for some more newcomers in the near future, because there are still roster spots open. There are still a couple of portal targets that Lamont has in mind. I think he wants another big man with some experience. So this roster, come next season, is going to be completely revamped. You're going to have a couple of guys who are holdovers, which, as I've said ad nauseum, I like, and you need to build that culture and, you know, tell the guys who are new to the locker room, like, hey, this is how we do things. This is what he expects of us. But this is going to be a much more experienced roster and a deeper roster than it was this past season. So hats off to Lamont Paris and the work he is doing. But hats off, big time hats off, to Shane Beamer and company as we move the focus to the football team. And I don't even know where to begin, y'all. I mean, I truly do not know where to begin. My head is spinning. So last week, the spring game happened, right? And everything coming out of that day in terms of recruiting was positive, that everyone had a great experience. They were able to get the full, you know, walkthrough and all that jazz. And the crowd was unbelievable and really bringing that wow factor to a spring game. And all of that conjecture was solidified and realized this week as Shane Beamer locked down three huge commitments for the team, all from the class of 2024. And you know what? You also got to give a hats off to Ray Tanner. I know he's not always been the most popular guy, and I've given him my fair share of crap too, but keeping the spring game at night, you only got to assume he at least has to sign off on it, right? But I think he was heavy-handed in it. Not only is this great for the fans, but I believe having it at night and allowing the recruits and the staff to have the full day together is a big reason why these guys committed. And maybe I'm off base here. I think we're the only school that does this, having it at night. So this could very well be our thing moving forward. And it clearly is paying dividends. So let's break down each of the welcome homes that we had this week from the football team. So first, offensive tackle Mike Williams. He is listed as a 3-star and also is an enormous human being. Like, this guy would cast a shadow on me at 6'6", 325 pounds, and he's in high school. He's 6'6", 325 pounds in high school. I mean, how does he even sit at the desk? I feel bad for him now that I'm thinking about that. But nevertheless, he is from the DMV area, which I am now dubbing Columbia North, as Shane Beamer is raiding this area for all of its talent. He was being recruited by Michigan State as well, and it just continues to show Beamer's commitment to the offensive line. You know, he might not be as highly rated as some of the other recent commitments we've had on the offensive line, but he definitely has the size, and stars are not everything. So if he can bring size and power to Columbia, Coach Teasley can coach him up from there, and I am more than okay with that. Next commitment, cornerback Braden Lee, a four-star also from the DMV area. He is a very skilled, highly sought-after recruit, had offers from Alabama, Arkansas, among others. Just a huge win for Shane Beamer and Torian Gray. Braden is 6'1", 163, and from the highlights I quickly looked at, seems to have great hands. And really, if you want to shut down the elite talent at wide receiver in the SEC, shocker, you need elite athletes on the outside. So this is a huge pickup and a big recruiting win. And then lastly was safety Kelvin Hunter, a four-star from Florence, South Carolina. He is 5'11", 181, so really just built like a brick house, and is going to be bringing that physicality, athleticism, and boom in the backfield. He'll be on campus at a time when guys like Nick Emanwari and DQ Smith are veterans, so he can take the torch from them. But if all three of them are on the field at once, this could be something very special. He is the number two ranked player in all of South Carolina. So that brings the tally to the Gamecocks now having five out of the top seven players in the state. There we go. Three of them being committed in the top three. So it's just a fantastic effort to keep elite talent at USC. And with these three commitments, our South Carolina Gamecocks currently have the fifth-ranked recruiting class for the 2024 cycle, according to On3. We have a top-five class. When have we ever been able to say that? I mean, this time last year, we were excited about recruiting, saying we have all this momentum going into the year. This is fantastic. This is simply a level we just have not seen, where we're at right now. Shane Beamer is catapulting this program forward and bringing elite talent and national attention to our football program. I mean, it's so exciting, but it is funny, you know, because there always is the trade-off of prove it on the field, and also the trade-off of we're talking about the 2024 class, so we have to wait a little bit until we see these guys on campus. You have to obviously develop that talent as well. But, you know, to that I say, one, like, you do need elite talent to win at an elite level for the most part. You know, that blue chip ratio and all that jazz. Two, I feel very confident in this coaching staff to develop the players that we bring in, as we've seen on display in the last two seasons under Beamer. So it's fantastic. Fantastic time to be a Gamecocks football fan. This program is in fantastic hands. We're trending in the right way in all the right places. I am just so ready for football season. And it's only April. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Like, thank God the baseball team is good this year, because I just don't know what to do with my hands. I mean, go Cox. Let's go. So fun. So ready for football season. Is it week one yet? All in for week one. Shout out RG3. But now let's turn our focus to games that have been played and scores that have happened, as I will look at the baseball team. The boys were in action Tuesday night at home against Charleston Southern and got a palate-cleansing win of 10-4. So, you know, after what happened up in Nashville, this was a much-needed win for all of us, to get some swagger back, right? Just to get that loving feeling back. But it certainly wasn't without drama. Charleston Southern scored their four runs in the first two innings. So right off the bat, it kind of felt like we were in for a fight. But thanks to a strong first inning from Carolina and then three consistent innings in the late part of the game, South Carolina was able to pull away and stay away. Our power hitters looked more like themselves, especially Gavin Cassis, who absolutely yoked a home run, just yoked it. Definitely needed to have a game like that. Now, there was a point of concern out of this game in that Talmadge LeCroy tweaked his hamstring running to first, and it was tough because you could tell he was trying to like stretch it out, and you could tell he wanted to fight through it and stay in the game when he was talking to the trainers and Mark Kingston, but he was just clearly in more discomfort and had to come out of the game. So right now, it seems like it's a day-to-day situation. I think the early word was that he felt better than he thought he was going to. So we'll see. Hopefully, it's not a long-term deal. Sometimes those hammies can be an issue. Eli Jurzenbeck was the starter but struggled with his command. He only went two innings and gave up those four runs. Dylan Eskew, Nick Proctor, and Cade Austin all chipped in out of the bullpen and pitched very well to shut out Charleston Southern the rest of the way. Player highlights for y'all here. Gavin Cassis, the aforementioned, 1-for-3 with four RBI. Cole Messina, 3-for-3 with a ribby. And Talmadge, before he went down, was 2-for-2 with two RBI. Now, up next, or should I say currently, for South Carolina is a series against Florida. I say currently because this series starts as I'm recording Thursday night. So, for my listeners who have been listening for a while, if you remember from basketball season, as I do, I send good vibes over the podcast airwaves. Please, good vibes for Thursday night's game. Your pitching rotation for this series: Thursday is Will Sanders, Friday is Jack Mahoney, and Saturday is TBA. I really would imagine this is going to be what it is until Noah Hall gets back. I don't think we'll have a third game, someone regularly pitching that, you know what I mean? But what is Carolina getting in the Florida Gators? Florida is currently ranked third in the country by D1 Baseball. This series is just, it's the conclusion of what was a gauntlet that this team has been going through the last couple of series here. Florida is 31-7 overall. They are 11-4 in conference, and their team lives up to the billing, right? I mean, they hit well, but what's funny about it is you look at their starting pitching, and at first glance, I was like, man, like their ERAs are nothing to be that scared about, nothing to write home about. But when you look at their strikeout numbers, they are just through the freaking roof. So, like, yeah, they might give up a few runs, but it's going to be hard sledding the entire way. Now, I have read that once they got into SEC play, they haven't been quite as good. Teams have been hitting them a little bit more than teams were in the beginning part of the season. But nevertheless, they will be bringing a very balanced attack to Founders Park. So my crow to the game here is just be tight defensively. Errors and bad defensive play plagued this team in Nashville against Vandy and frankly cost this team the series. Florida is elite competition, and you just cannot give them an inch. So overall, you know, while defense has not been great for the Gamecocks all year, and I don't expect it to just be a complete 180 than what we've seen, it needs to be noticeably better than it was in Nashville. And if the Gamecocks can do that, I like us in our home ballpark. I like our lineup. We're not afraid of anybody. We don't back down. We're going to have that edge. And I like our depth. So let's go, Cox. It should be a very, very fun season series as part of a fun season. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Again, please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show. And like, subscribe, and review to the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go, Cox.